Of course, this is the last time we'll assemble this year. We won't meet together again until next year. And time has a way of just flying by. Just seems like it was yesterday that we began 2018. And now here we are already about to begin 2019. This morning we begin looking at something that I believe is very encouraging and helpful as we close out the year. We talked about the love of God. We looked at Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. We emphasized the fact that Paul said we can be rooted and grounded in love. And Paul said that we need to know the love of Christ that passeth all knowledge. Now, how can we know that which passeth all knowledge? Evidently, there's some things about God's love we can know, but we can't know everything. But we can know something. And I wanted to share today three ideas that I believe you can stake your soul upon, that you can depend on. These are three things that you know for sure regarding to the love of God. This morning we talked about how that the love of God will not let us down. God's love will never let us down. We can depend on that love. And we pointed that out from Scripture, how that God will always love us. His love will never let us down. We also talked about this morning how that God's love will never let us go. We can never do enough to cause God to hate us. God will always love us no matter how deep into the depths of sin we may go. You know, one thing my wife and I have always tried to get across to our children as they grew up at home is that we wanted them to know that we were always going to love them no matter what they did. In other words, no matter what you do, you can always know that your mom and your dad are always going to love you. We're always going to care for you. We're always going to do our best to see that your best interests are met. And we want you to be able to come to us when there's difficult problems that arise. But when it comes to God and our relationship with Him, as Christians, we are His children. And God loves us far more intently than we can ever begin to think about or comprehend. But tonight I want to suggest to you that not only will God love us, and not only will that love not let us down and not let us go, but lastly tonight, I want us to understand that God's love, as great and as wonderful as it is, it will not let us off. Now, God's love has height, it has depth, it has length. But we also need to remember that God's love also has breadth and depth. That means that God's love has principle. God's love has great character. It means that God's love is full of conviction. God's love stands for something, and it stands against something. And we need to realize that God just will not let a person off, no matter how much he may love us. You know, over in Psalms 136, in that one psalm, 26 times, the Bible says His loving kindness endures forever. His loving kindness endures forever. We read in 1 John 2 and verse 1 that when a man sins, he has an advocate with the Father. And yet we need to understand that even though God's loving kindness endures forever, even though when we sin we have an advocate with the Father, we must also understand that that love has never given man the license to go out here and live in sin and do as he pleases. God's love has never given us the privilege to go out and live like we want to live and commit willful, open sin. We need to understand that we're not free to just go out and live how we want to live simply because God loves us. And just because God loves us intently doesn't mean that He's going to let us off, that He's going to let it slide just because He loves us. In Romans 6 and verse 1, the Bible says, "What shall we then say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" See, God's love does not give us the freedom to go out and sin. God's love has restrictions. God's love has demands. It requires responsibilities on our part. I love what the Bible says in Romans chapter 2 and verse 4. There Paul said, "The goodness of God leads to repentance." You know, God's goodness can be seen on every hand if we would just open up our eyes to it. God's goodness can be seen in the wonderful physical blessings that we enjoy living in this country on a daily basis. We think about the wonderful times that we've had just in the last few days, spending time with family and friends. We had a tremendous feast of food. We enjoyed being together. And God has truly blessed us. The goodness of God can be seen in what He's done for us spiritually. The spiritual blessings that we enjoy through Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Bible says it's the goodness of God that will lead to repentance. And that just simply means that repentance is one thing that must be practiced by an individual if that individual is ultimately going to enjoy and benefit from the love of God. You see, we just can't sin and God let us off without making that sin right and being forgiven. You know, the inspired writer said in Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 27, "Can a man take fire into his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Certainly not. Can one walk upon hot coals and his feet not be burned?" Well, the answer is self-evident. We know that sin will impact our lives. And when we sin, even though God loves us in a way that we cannot even comprehend, that doesn't mean that God is going to let us off. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Romans 6 and verse 23. Hebrews 2 and verse 2 says that every transgression and disobedience shall receive a just recompense of reward. The truth is, we're not going to escape. If we commit willful, open sin, God is not just going to let things slide by because He loves us. And we need to understand tonight that even though God's love is great, though it was great enough that He sent His Son to die for us when we were in such a deplorable condition, it's not the kind of love that's going to let man off. Now, it's true that God's love will never let you down. God's love will never, ever let you go. You can't do enough to escape the love of God. But also we need to understand that God's love will not let us off. Look at some examples. I think about Moses in the Old Testament. And, you know, I really sympathize with Moses. Moses was a leader that had to endure so very much. He must have been the most patient individual that perhaps ever lived. I know the Bible says he was the meekest man in all the earth. Here was a man that interceded time and time again on behalf of God's people to keep God from literally destroying His people from off the face of the earth because of their sins, because of their murmuring, because of their complaining. And for all Moses did, for all that he put up with from those people even wanted to stone him. The Hebrews writer says that Moses chose to suffer affliction, and he truly did with the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And Moses was a great man. And we read how that only one time it appears he disobeyed God. God told Moses to speak to the rock, and instead he smote the rock and apparently took some of the glory for himself. And you know, that just seems like a small thing, you know. Surely God could let something like that slip by. If you had to put up with what I had to put up with these people, you know, you'd lose it every now and then too, wouldn't you? You know, and Moses had to put up with a lot. But the sad story we find in God's book is that Moses, as great as he was, and as much as he had done for those people as their leader, Moses was not allowed to enter the promised land. He was only allowed to view it from afar. And evidently Moses was somewhat upset about this. And back in Deuteronomy 3, 25 through 27, you know, Moses had been asking God time and time again, you know, please, God, let me go into the land of Canaan. And here in Deuteronomy 3 and verse 25, he prayed to God again about that. Please let me go over with this people into the land of promise. And God said, no. God says, Moses, don't you speak to me anymore about this matter. Now, God loved Moses. God's love would never let Moses down. It would never let Moses go. But it also wouldn't let Moses off. And we need to understand that just because God loves us, that doesn't mean He's going to automatically let us off, unless we today do what it takes to get our sins forgiven. You know, think about the sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu. And, you know, that story, that account in Leviticus 10 and verse 1 is there for a reason. Apparently they offered fire that God had not commanded. God had not authorized that fire. And, you know, perhaps they were sincere. Perhaps they were actually trying to worship God. And yet we know in Leviticus 10 and verse 2 that fire came down from God, from heaven, and consumed them. Now, did God love Nadab and Abihu? Most certainly He did. But God's love would not let them off. And I think there's some application we need to make for ourselves today. We need to realize that we may feel like in our worship, God's going to let us off. We may feel like sometimes if we just come to the assembly and kind of check off that box, well, we've done that this week. And, you know, just attend, that's all that we have to do. But the Bible says that we need to worship God genuinely. We need to worship God in spirit and in truth. Some may feel, you know, if I just go through the motions of partaking the Lord's Supper, you know, I take a little of the bread, take a little bit of the fruit of the vine, you know, kind of check that box off as I do every first day of the week, that's all it takes. But the Bible emphasizes that when we partake of the Lord's Supper, it's something that we do intentionally. Our minds go back and we reflect on what Jesus Christ did for us on Calvary. When we partake of the bread, our minds comprehend the body of our Lord that was given on Calvary. When we partake of that fruit of the vine, we reflect on what Jesus did on the cross as His blood was spilt on the ground. It reminds us every time we do that, the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. And the Bible says when each one of us individually do that, we do show forth the Lord's death till He come. Now, if we partake of the Lord's Supper irreverently, we're not thinking about what we're doing, we're focused on other things, you know, God's not just going to let us off. When we come to worship and when we act in an irreverent way in our worship services, we need to understand God's not going to let us off unless we're forgiven. Some may feel, you know, if I just come and when that contribution plate comes around and I just put something in, you know, I've got a little bit left over in my billfold from the week and I'll put that in. You know, that's really all that matters. Brethren, I wonder if we've ever stopped to understand that God expects us to give something more than 10%. That's the least God ever has expected in any dispensation in time. And just because we give something, just because maybe we give God a token of something, doesn't mean He's going to let us off. But you see, God loves us all. God cares for us all. He loved us enough to send His Son to die for us. But just because He loves us doesn't mean He's going to let us off. Or I think about Uzzah over in 2 Samuel chapter 6. Now, here was a man that died before the Lord. The Lord had specifically given instructions that nobody was to touch the Ark of the Covenant. And we read about how on one occasion that the Ark was being transported from one place to another, the oxen stumbled. It appeared that the Ark was about to fall. And Uzzah, perhaps just out of reflex action, out of genuine concern for the Ark of God, he reached forth his hand to steal the Ark, and God smote him dead right there on the spot. Now, I'm going to be perfectly frank with you. That almost seems kind of cruel to me. It almost seems to be very, very odd. It almost seems to be extremely severe. But I believe there's one lesson that we need to learn from this. And that is, though God's love is great, though God's love is something we cannot fully comprehend, though it won't let us down, though it won't let us go, neither will God's love let us off. God's love is a love that has great principle. And then we turn to the New Testament and we observe the fact that this idea is seen as well in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning in verse 7. The Bible says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." The Bible clearly says that every individual that does not obey the gospel of Jesus Christ is going to be subjected to the vengeance of God. The Hebrews writer also reflected upon this principle in Hebrews 10 and verse 29. He said, "Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified as an unholy thing and has done despite or disrespect to the Spirit of truth? For we know him that says, vengeance belongs to me. I will recompense, says the Lord, and the Lord shall judge his people. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." Now, this morning, we emphasized in great detail the fact that God loves us so very much. There's no amount of sin that we can commit that will keep God from loving us. There is no person who has ever lived that God did not love intently. But just because God loves us doesn't mean He will let us go. Nahum 1 in verse 3 says, "The Lord will not acquit the wicked." And so it's true that God's love has principle. It has character. And therefore, God in His great love cannot let us go. But tonight, as I close the lesson, I hope that every one of us will remember that when we do sin, we have Jesus Christ as our advocate. God loves us continually. We can't get away from it. God loves us in spite of the fact that we commit sin. Jesus says to us in Matthew 11 and verse 28, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." There's no one anywhere exempt from that invitation. God's done everything that He possibly can to prove His genuine love for each one of us. God is always compassionate toward the sinner, but He's never complacent toward the sin. God loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. And based upon what we've seen, based upon Ephesians chapter 3, we just simply cannot fathom with our finite minds the love of God. And even though we can't understand many things about it, there are some things that we can know for certain. God's love will never let you down. God's love will never let you go. But we can also know that God's love will not let us off. See, that's why tonight, especially as we close out this year, if you need to become a Christian, you need to realize God has certain requirements of you if you want to be saved. If you believe Jesus as being the Son of Almighty God, God requires of you as a believer to repent of your sins. That is a change, a turn to God from sin, to live for Him. He requires that you acknowledge Him as being the Son of God. He requires that you be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. You may say, "Well, you know, I just believe that God loves me. And I believe that God will somehow save me without doing that." Well, you can be assured of one thing. God loves you, and God's love won't let you down. God's love won't let you go. But unless you're willing to obey the gospel, God's love also will not let you off. Or it may be that you're here as one who is a child of God, but over time, you become a little bit lukewarm and unconcerned. Your focus has waned. You're really not serving God to the best of your ability. Maybe you're just going through the motions. And maybe in your mind, you have the attitude, "Well, you know, God will just accept that." But unless you're willing to be fully committed to the Lord in every way, as much as God loves you, He will not let you off. And you have a responsibility to repent and come back to the Lord and make your life right with Him. I hope tonight that we will be challenged in our thinking to understand that God's love is great and wonderful. But we have responsibilities that we must fulfill in response to that love. Perhaps tonight you have a need to come and respond to the Savior's invitation. And if you do, we ask that you come now while we stand and sing.